chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. And our subject this evening is trust and obey. Well, we know that hymn very well, many of us, a famous hymn that goes, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And really in these words, in verse 5 of chapter 3, we have the scriptural backing and justification for that hymn. This is what is included in this verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. We will also consider verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Well, tremendous words in this book of Proverbs. And well, it's a book that we don't often delve into, but it's a book that is rich in teaching and application, a book that is rich in wisdom. That's one of its main themes. And it is, of course, well, it contains the wisdom of the wisest man who ever lived under inspiration of God, of course, King Solomon, the son of David. Well, Solomon's ability to produce Proverbs is documented in the scriptures. In 1 Kings chapter 4, we read that 3,000 Proverbs are ascribed to King Solomon. There's not 3,000 Proverbs in this book, but we get a good sample of them. And well, what is the purpose of the book of Proverbs? Well, what is a proverb even? Let's start with that. Well, a proverb, well, if we take the English word proverb, that is made up of a Latin word or two Latin words that mean, well, pro means for and verba means words. So if you put them together, it means four words. And the meaning really is instead of words. Instead of a lengthy, wordy explanation, a short, succinct statement is given. Instead of words, it's a proverb, a shorter saying. That's really what that word proverb means. In the Hebrew, the word translated proverb is also translated parable elsewhere in the scriptures, and that helps us because they are in many ways mini parables when we consider these proverbs. But, well, the main purpose of this particular book, well, we get a good idea in chapter 1. If we just briefly turn to chapter 1, we get the best explanation of the book of Proverbs. Chapter 1 and verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And this is the purpose: to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. Teaches us about justice, teaches us what is right and wrong and how we are to defend these things, to give subtlety to the simple, to give discretion to those who may otherwise be easily led astray, to give them a measure of wisdom to those who are naive, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. And well, that part is particularly notable because we frequently see in the book of Proverbs, certainly in these early chapters, references to my son, to those who are young. And well, this book of Proverbs is for the instruction of the young. That's one of the purposes. The Israelites were to train up their children in the things of the Lord. And in the process of that training, Proverbs came to be used. In fact, some believe that King Solomon set up special schools for the religious training of young men, and that this collection of Proverbs was used in them to instruct the young, to guide them to the best possible life. My son is frequently repeated and emphasized. But, well, that's a very short introduction into the book of Proverbs, a fascinating book. But let's focus on verse 5 of chapter 3, and let's see what we can glean from these words. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Well, the first word, of course, that leaps at us is that word, trust. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And well, really, that's the first point of application. And the first thing we have to ask ourselves, do we trust in God? Do we really trust in God? Sometimes we think that we are trusting in God, but we don't actually trust in God. In fact, we find it very hard to trust anybody. As people, this is our nature. We find it hard to trust anybody. We are so often let down by one another. We cannot trust those around us, even at times those who are closest to us. Sometimes you can trust some people with certain things, but you can't trust them with other things. There are only certain things you can trust people with. We generally, by our nature, we are not entirely trustworthy. And so because we cannot trust one another, we find it quite hard to trust God, the God who is over us, the God who is sovereign. But of course, in the scriptures, we are given so many affirmations and assurances that we can trust God. God, of course, is most trustworthy. And well, there are countless exhortations I could point you to, but I just read out some just to get a taster. In Isaiah 26 and verse 4, we read, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." In Psalm 65, which we read earlier, and verse 5, "By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are afar off upon the sea." We can have confidence in this God. All the ends of the earth is mentioned here by the psalmist, not just for Israel. It wasn't just Israel who was to trust in God and to have confidence in God. All the ends of the earth, Psalm 65. All of us, we can trust in the Lord. In Psalm 71 and verse 5, "For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth." We are called, we are instructed to trust in God even from a young age. And we can trust in the Lord. Well, what are the reasons why we can trust in God? There is a great reason, of course, because he is our God. That would be reason enough, because he is holy, because he is righteous, because he is perfect truth. You can trust in God because he is perfect truth. If he was capable of falsehood, if God was capable of lying to us, well, then, of course, we would not feel comfortable trusting in him. That is why we don't feel comfortable trusting in men, because we know that men lie to us. But what do we read in the scriptures? "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" You can trust in God. That is what those words are saying to us. He's not a man that he should lie. He's not a man that he should harm us. Sometimes we think that God will harm us. I know this is the case for seekers at times. They don't want to come to the Lord because they think that God will harm them in some way, will make a fool out of them. And well, that's not true. We maintain this morning. Humiliation, those things that make a fool out of us, that's the way of sin. It's sin that humiliates us. It's not God. You can trust God. You can follow him. He will protect you. He will bless you. But it is, it indicates the great foolishness of men that we are far more willing to trust the things of this world, the things of sin, to keep us safe rather than the things of God. God will not harm us. He will not give you any more than you can bear. We read that in the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, amongst other verses that we could mention. But sometimes we think God will give us more than we can bear. If I give my whole life to Christ, if I commit myself to a church, if I live a life that is holy for God, oh, it'd be so hard to bear. And so that's why we hold back. We don't want to give ourselves to God, because if I do, well, he'll crush me. I'll be utterly exhausted the whole time. No, of course not. You can trust God. He will never give you more than you can bear. Indeed, of course, we read that his yoke is easy, it's light. You can trust God in these things. So many Christians nowadays, they're so afraid of commitment. And you know what that shows? It shows a lack of trust. They don't really trust God. They don't trust that to give their lives to him will be the best life for them. But we can trust God. And of course, well, trusting God is what sets us apart from the world. It makes us distinctive. The world, well, particularly in the time of the Old Testament, the world would trust in other gods, the world would trust in idols, and Israel trusted in the living God. That's what made them distinct. That's what made them holy. And that is how we are to be. The world trusts in other things. The world trusts in itself. And I don't always want to go on about the coronavirus, but this is what we see. The world is trusting in its own means to protect itself, in its social distancing, in its masks and all its other policies and quarantines and lockdowns. Where should our trust be? Our trust should be in the Lord. Of course it should be. Yes, we take the precautions, but ultimately our trust is in God. We never trust in our own works. We never trust in our own capabilities. We don't trust in ourselves. In fact, we read even in this very book, Proverbs 28 and verse 26, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." Well, that's the way of the world, isn't it? Trusting in your own heart. Isn't that what the world says? Follow your own heart. Whatever you feel like doing, just do it. Just go with it. Trust in your heart. Your heart is always right. But of course, that is such a mistaken belief. Our hearts, the natural hearts of men, they are fallen. They can deceive us. Our own hearts deceive us at times. Our hearts can desire things that are not good for us. So rather than trusting in our hearts, the teaching of the Word of God is trust in the Lord with all thine heart. There's a great difference. There's a great distinction. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And this is what makes us true followers of God. But this suggests to us, of course, just before we leave this part of the verse, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. This suggests that we are to have a relationship with God. You can't trust somebody that you don't actually have a relationship with. These words really can only be applied and only be beneficial to those who have actually entered into a relationship with God, to those who know God, to those who love God. Love and trust go together. Of course they do. You can't trust somebody that you don't even know, that you're not in a relationship with. So somebody who's a nominal Christian, for example, somebody who's only outwardly religious, they can never trust God because they don't actually know God. They will never follow his ways. That is one of the most conspicuous things about nominal believers. They will never really trust God. When it comes to the major decisions of life, what will they do? They'll follow the way of the world. Oh, the world is doing this, so I'll just go that way. Of course they do, because they don't know God. They don't have a relationship with God. And you need a relationship with God in order to be able to trust God. So this speaks about knowing God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You know him, you love him, and therefore you are able to trust him. It's only applicable in that sense. So again, we have to ask ourselves, do we actually know God? Am I saved? Am I born again? Have I entered into that relationship with him? And this is so very vital for us. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. But then we get the second part of verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Now this can be very hard to do. Leaning not unto thine own understanding. Because sometimes the Lord leads us into situations and circumstances and we don't understand why. Why has he led us into this thing in my life? We don't understand why he has done that. Why has God allowed this crisis in my life? Why has God allowed a great bereavement? Things were going so well. I was walking with the Lord in the right way. I was, spiritually active and spiritually alive. And then something happens and it brings you right down. And it actually, in some ways, causes you great distress in your spiritual life. And you can't understand why this has happened. Well, what are we to do in situations such as these? Well, we are not to lean on our own understanding. We are to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. God does not always promise that we will understand everything that happens to us. That promise is not made in Scripture. Everything that happens to you, you'll understand everything about it. No, the promise is that when those things come to pass, if we trust in God, he will help us. He will bless us. And that is what we must do, dear friends. I don't need to give many examples. You can simply apply situations from your own lives. Situations perhaps even now, ongoing, you don't really understand. But dear friends, the Lord, well, he is not obliged to always give you understanding, but we are obliged to always trust in the Lord, to trust that God is doing all things well, to trust that God's plan is far higher than ours and better than ours, and it always is. Isaiah 55 and verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And we believe that, even if we cannot see that or understand that, we believe that the Lord is working everything out to his glorious purpose. And well, we could apply this not just to situations in our lives, but we can apply this to our theology, because it has to be said that there are some things in our theology that we don't understand. We don't fully understand. We don't fully understand the Trinity. Nobody fully understands how God is one, and yet there are three persons within the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and each person of the Godhead is equally God. And do we fully understand how the Lord Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Father? We don't fully understand that, but we trust that it is so. So this applies to our theology also. Christ's death, of course. Calvary. We cannot fully understand how Christ took upon himself the eternal punishment for our sin on that cross in the space of 6 hours. How can Christ take upon himself the eternal punishment for billions of people in the space of 6 hours? We don't fully understand it, but we trust, of course we do. That is the basis of our faith. We trust that this is what has happened. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. There are so many ways in which we must apply these words. And these things, well, they help us greatly in our spiritual lives, in our practical spiritual lives, and when we look into the scripture and discover the deep things of God. So lean not unto thine own understanding, but that we need to qualify these words, because in verse 6 we read, in all thy words acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Well, now this is the obedience part of the message this evening. Trust and obey, that was the title, if you remember. So we've looked at trust, but these verses now, verses 6 and 7, they are concerning obedience. They speak to us about obedience, obeying God. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Well, do we exercise these principles that are presented to us in these verses? In all thy ways acknowledge him. In everything that we do, in every major decision that we must make, we must acknowledge God. We must obey God. We never seek to do our own thing. Now, I've mentioned this before on several occasions, but it helps us to think practically about how we are to apply this. How am I to acknowledge God in all my ways? Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That final part of the verse, direct thy paths, well, really that means that God will make your path straight. He will make your path straight. If you acknowledge God in everything that you do, your life will be a straight life. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, let me put it to you in this way. If you don't obey God in all your paths, well, you will zigzag your way through life. You will take the wrong turning. You will follow the wrong instruction, go in the wrong direction. It won't be a straight path. It won't be the way that God has intended for you. You're disobeying God. You're going this way and that way. You're not following the straight path. And so many people do this. So many people, they don't want to acknowledge God in all their directions, in all their decisions. And so what happens? They waste time. They make the wrong decisions. They backslide. It could have been an easy way for them, a straight path. But they don't want to obey God. And so they do things that cause them much distress and even much regret. And so we must understand what it is and how important it is to acknowledge God in all our ways, if we are not to waste time and if we are not to fall into error. And well, I've mentioned or laid before us this evening some points that will help us to acknowledge the Lord in all that we do. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Well, first of all, and I'll be brief with these points, when we come to great decisions and great crossroads in our lives, of course we look to the Word of God for our guidance. Now we look specifically to the law of God, the Ten Commandments. Why do I say this? Well, because the Ten Commandments, they really are the most practical way to acquire guidance. So many people, they ask for guidance. I always direct them to the Ten Commandments, because this is how we are to live. This is what we are not to transgress. So in all decisions that you make, measure them up to the Ten Commandments. Are you putting the Lord first? The first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Is your decision putting God first? Or are you putting other things first? Perhaps your moving city. Are you moving city just for work or just for education? You don't really care about your spiritual life? Well, then you're breaking the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Where you live, you put God first. Is there a good church? Is there a sound church? Not is there a good job? Not is there lots of money for me to earn? We have to look at the commandments. That will guide you. That will show you where you are truly to live. Are you being covetous? The 10th commandment warns of being covetous. Maybe you've decided you want to do something. Why do you want to do it? Oh, well, because you've seen other people doing it and they've benefited from it. That's what you want. It's got nothing to do with God at all. I've seen other people doing this and getting this. That's why I want to do that thing. That's why I want that career. Go to the Ten Commandments. Are you being covetous? That's the only reason why you want to follow after that thing. Has nothing to do with God. We look to the Word of God and specifically the Ten Commandments. It seems so simple, but this is how we acknowledge the Lord in all our ways. Of course, the second thing I want to mention is pray. That's obvious. Pray that the Lord's will be done and not your own. But you have to pray for obedience also. Some people, they pray in the wrong way. Some people pray for a sign. They make this plan and then they say to God, well, God, if you don't want me to do this thing, you will send a sign to stop me. If you don't want me to go this way, just intervene in some miraculous way and then I'll stop doing it. And well, sometimes God does do that. But you know what a better prayer is? God, make me obedient. God, stop me from doing the wrong thing. Not God, give me a sign and then I'll stop. Because if God doesn't give you a sign, well, you make him responsible for your disobedience and your waywardness. Oh, well, you didn't stop me, God, so I went in and ruined everything. No, a better prayer is, Lord, correct me. Compel me to stop myself if what I'm doing is wrong. Help me to come to my senses. Not just God send me a sign, correct me. Remember what we read in Psalm 139. Show me if there is any wicked way in me. Show me if my motivation is wrong and lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me, Lord. But show me if what I am doing is wrong. And finally, the third part of this acknowledging of God in all our ways, we seek the advice of others. We seek the advice of others. Now, some people don't like this because when they want to make a decision, they say, well, how can man know? I'm not going to take the advice from any men. I'm just going to take advice from the Lord. And that sort of gives people at times license to do whatever they want. But you know, what the Lord desires is that when you come to the big decisions, you have to take advice from others. And it's very clear in this book of Proverbs. And if you want to turn with me to some scriptures, you're very welcome to. But I will just read just four verses from this book of Proverbs, chapter 11 and verse 14, first of all. Chapter 11 and verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. In the multitude of counselors. You see, whatever decision we make, we don't take it on our own. God has given us godly men and women. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And then Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Some people are so stubborn. They seem convinced that God has put into their hearts one particular way, and they don't want to hear anybody else. But God wants you to hearken to the counsel of the wise. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. And then, well, we can go on to chapter 13 and verse 10. Chapter 13, verse 10, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Are you well-advised? Or are you not seeking counsel from anybody else? That's pride, says the Lord, in this book of Proverbs. And then finally, well, just one more, chapter 19 and verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. Hear counsel, that is the way to wisdom, dear friends. This is the way to acknowledge the Lord in all your paths. So, well, I present all these things to you. It may be the case that some of you are facing great decisions in your lives, decisions that will affect your whole lives. And well, the way to make the right decision is presented for us here in these words. This is the only way. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Well, may the Lord bless these things to us and help us to obey in the coming days. Well, let us close our thinking, turning in our hymn books to hymn number 542. Hymn number 542. And this will help us as we conclude. Hymn number 542. Leave God to order all thy ways, and hope in him whate'er betide. He will be found in evil days an all-sufficient strength and guide. Who trusts in God's unchanging love builds on the rock that cannot move. Only thy restless heart keep still, and wait in cheerful hope content, to take whate'er his gracious will, his all-discerning love has sent. Nor doubt our inmost wants are known to him who chose us for his own. Trust, pray, and swerve not from his ways, but do thine own part faithfully. Trust his rich promises of grace, so shall they be fulfilled in thee. God never yet forsook the need of those who trusted him indeed. Well, let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, we thank thee for all that we have considered, all that we have remembered this evening, that thou art the God who is trustworthy. Lord, that even though we may not understand the way, the path that thou art showing to us, Lord, we are obliged to trust. We are invited to trust, and we may do so knowing that thou art the God who is completely trustworthy, righteous and just and full of truth and grace. Oh, dear Lord, help us to trust thee in all the paths of life, in all the things that we confront. O Lord, strengthen us, we pray, and give us obedience, O Lord. Help us not to be stubborn. Help us not to be selfish. Help us to check our motives at all times, so that we may not walk into ruin and loss. O Lord, may we keep our eyes ever fixed upon thee. And Lord, we ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.